The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there and welcome to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. This is our radio broadcast and podcast ministry, and we welcome you to be with us today. Catherine Wright and Ken Yates are leading our discussion today from the book of Romans. We are right in the middle of a great chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And right in the middle of that chapter, we run into a word that we think is not so great, suffering. Why is it that the Christian's suffering is so important to God? What is the meaning for all of the trials that we go through? Well, stay tuned. Ken and Catherine will have a great discussion about it coming right up. The Grace Evangelical Society's website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. I will be saying more about it at the end of the discussion, but it is a great website for the study of free grace theology. There are hundreds of articles on our website that you can access for free, some free ebooks. So be sure to go there and make use of those resources. That's faithalone.org. And now, Ken and Catherine with today's discussion.
If you've been listening to the podcast, you know we're in Romans 8, and it is chock full of all kinds of stuff.
It's a really good chapter.
And we have been making the case that there's a difference between a child of God and a son of God, mm-hmm. and there's a difference between an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. All believers are heirs of God, but only those who suffer with Christ will be joint heirs with him. They will be rewarded in the coming kingdom with cities to rule over. They will share in his glorious reign. And this idea of suffering leads to the very next verse, because Paul says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." There's a couple things here. The word glory here in Romans 8 is not talking about that all believers will get a glorified body. This glory is sharing in Christ's glorious reign. It is sharing in his glory. And in verse 17, he said, we will be glorified with him if we suffer with him. First thing I just want to point out in verse 18 is that Paul says, whatever sufferings the obedient believer goes through, the one who's walking by the Spirit, God is going to more than compensate that believer for that. As some have pointed out, God is not a cheap payer. God is not a cheap giver. If he rewards you for what you have done for him, he's going to more than compensate you for what sufferings you went through. Mm-hmm. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he talks about all his sufferings for Christ, and he goes, they're nothing but momentary and light afflictions.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about it too, and I looked it up. This is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, and Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." So we also see the concept of glory repeated in both of those passages as well. As we mentioned last time, another distinction that we're trying to make is that, yes, all believers will receive glorified bodies, will be glorified, but those who suffer, that they will share in a greater glory. Maybe word it like that. Or
yes.
So
the glory of reigning.
The glory of reigning. And so
there's different kinds of glories. There's a glorified body. There's a glorious throne that Christ will set upon, and he's going to share that glorious throne.
And so in both of these passages, we see Paul's perspective is that the suffering is not to be compared to what is to come. He will reward you greatly for the sufferings that we experience for him now.
Yes, and you mentioned 2 Timothy 2, and if we suffer with him, we will also reign with him. Paul is talking about the same thing here, and that's really important. And the reason we're stressing this is because here in Romans 8, starting in verse 18 all the way through the end of the chapter, I think a lot of Christians come to this, and even a lot of Bible teachers come to this and say, well, he's talking about all believers.
Right.
But he's not. He's talking about those who suffer with the Lord, those who walk by the Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, the world is going to see Christ in us, And to various degrees, we're going to go through tribulations as a result of that. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
If the world sees Christ in you, you're going to go through difficult times.
And I think it's also important to distinguish that not all believers are willing to do that, to suffer or to be led by the Spirit because of the suffering that it produces.
And a lot of believers don't understand the doctrine of rewards.
Right.
Why should I do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why shouldn't I take the easy way out? If I know I have eternal life and I'm in a place where I can confess Christ before men, why do that?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't understand rewards or the benefits mm-hmm. of being obedient to him. But I thought it'd be a good idea just to see the emphasis in the rest of this chapter on suffering,
yeah.
just to show that we're not making this up. I want to just point out some of these words that deal with suffering in this section. We already saw in verse 17, if we suffer with him. In verse 18, the sufferings of this present age. Then notice in verse 2, for we know that all of creation groans.
You said verse 2 just
No,
then.
Did I meant verse 22.
Right.
Verse 22, I'm sorry. All of creation is groaning. And what Paul is saying just real quickly is that the believer who walks according to the Spirit joins in that groaning with creation. Creation is under the curse, under the impact of man's sin. And the believer who suffers with Christ joins in creation in groaning for the day when the Lord returns. We see that in verse 23, where Paul says that. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, those who are walking according to the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Okay, so this is talking about the believer who walks according to the Spirit. There's a groaning, waiting, eagerly awaiting for the return of Christ when he will make all things new and there's no longer sin and death. But that's only a believer who's walking according to the Spirit, the one who is experiencing the fruits of the Spirit. And then in verse 25, we wait with perseverance. We've talked in the previous podcast about chapter 5, where Paul says, we go through tribulations and we learn perseverance. Mm-hmm. Here's this word again, perseverance. Perseverance as we're going through trials, as we're going through sufferings for the Lord. So here's another emphasis on suffering. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. It's when a believer is suffering that their weaknesses come to the forefront. And once again, it talks about groanings, verse 26. Then look at the way this section ends, well, towards the end in verse 35, where Paul talks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And he says in verse 36, for we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What we see here is that all throughout this chapter, Paul is talking about the believer who suffers with the Lord. And he introduces that in verse 17. These are the believers who will reign with Christ. These are the believers who's going to be glorified with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a good time to stop and just acknowledge right now when I see a lot of preaching here in the United States and even overseas, we just came back from Africa recently, we often hear the teaching of the prosperity of the Christian life, that if you're pleasing God, he will bless you with good health and he will bless you with money and he'll bless you with all these things. And yet what we see, I think, here in Romans 8, but also throughout the New Testament, is that that's far from a biblical perspective, that being led by the Spirit will involve suffering. You know, that whole description there that you gave at the end of the chapter, you know, with the tribulations and distress and persecution and nakedness and sword, and there in verse 35, we see that, no, the Christian life is one that when it's being led by the Spirit, it's going to result in suffering. That's, I think, such an important distinction to make, because so much of the world teaches that it's only the good things that will happen if you're pleasing him. But in reality, pleasing him will ultimately result in some hard times.
Yes. And I think that's a very good point to make. All throughout the New Testament, we see, it's amazing to me that this prosperity, name it and claim it. Mm-hmm. I had a chaplain friend who used to say, blab it and grab it, that that's able to take hold. I can understand the person in the pew who maybe hasn't been taught, but certainly those who teach the Word of God know better than that.
Well, and I think where it's particularly damaging is when you get sick, or when you lose your business, or when something bad happens and the church is telling you that you've done something wrong. Clearly, the Lord's displeased with you, when in reality, it very well may be the opposite, that he's using these trials to produce character, you know, going back to Romans 5, to mature you, to make you a son. And so, you know, if you're going through a hard time, I just wanted to say that it's not that God is displeased with you. It very well may be that the Lord's using that to draw you closer to him. That's a good thing.
And when you look at Romans 8, obviously we teach, and we know the Bible teaches, that once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. You can never lose eternal life. But what we're trying to emphasize is, even though that's true, that's not what Paul is talking about here at the end of Romans 8.
Right.
He's talking about the believer who walks by the Spirit and suffers for the Lord. Mm-hmm. What is true for him? It's going to be great rewards, mm-hmm. is his point there. So we would really challenge you, when you look here, starting in verse 18 of Romans 8, that you see this is talking about the faithful believer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and that you'll join us again. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we continue in Romans chapter 8, and we get to Romans 8:28, that great verse about all things working together for good. Please join us. We'll be looking for you. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.